Everybody get your Bibles and turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and Psalm 91. The message I have for you tonight is called The Benefits of the Secret Place. I want you to lock in with me. Don't be distracted. Just stay plugged in, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as you listen, the entrance of His Word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I want to teach you tonight about what the secret place is, and that we need to live there and be there, and to the degree that we function in the secret place, we will see greater reward on the outside. Did you know that when you plant an orchid seed, before it becomes the beautiful flower that it is on that great display, it first must be embedded into secret place of dark soil? And that in fact, every plant basically gets planted in a secret place before it becomes a public thing. And did you know that the best part of our life and the most effectiveness will be increased to the degree that we learn the benefits of the secret place? Now, I want to look at Psalm 91 first, and then I want to go to Matthew 6, and I just want to bring forth a few nuggets from this. And while I'm preaching, you might get some things better than what I'm sharing, and you might want to write those down and share them with some people or tell me about it. Oftentimes, I'll preach a message and somebody will come up and say, "Pastor, did you know about this verse?" And I go, "Oh man, I didn't know. I wish I knew that one." But it's good. We're all learning. We're all growing. But I want you to look here before you look at Psalm 91. I just want to say this, that this message, if you'll get this revelation, it will increase outward manifestations of blessing and great grace as you begin to see the value of the secret place and as you begin to understand that that's where the power lies. It's not in our human skill. It's not in our opportunism or charisma or prestige. The body of Christ is rising up and saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." A breed of people are rising up that understand how great Jesus Christ is, how imminent His return is, how powerful His Spirit is, how great and vibrant His Word is, and how much impact His people have on a fallen world. To the degree that we understand abiding in Him and in fellowship with Him in the secret place. This will help you at work if you work at the mall. This will help you on the job. It'll increase fruitfulness exponentially. Now look here. Psalm 91, verse 1. "He who dwells in the shelter," or in the New King James says, "in the secret place of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Now, listen to this. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, there's a secret place. And if you live in the secret place, then when you go out in your daily life and the sun is beating down and you're out there, He'll shade you as you walk around in life. It shows this, that there's a protection element in being in the secret place. "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. And He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness." Why won't you be afraid? Because you're living in the secret place. You live in the secret place, security, protection, and strength will come upon you. When you spend ample time in the secret place, listen to me, Christians, nothing can substitute nor replace our intimate secret place abiding in Christ. It's very important that we have public fellowship. It's very important that we be in fellowship with one another. We should not forsake our assembling, nor should we forsake the secret place, because there are benefits inherent to getting quiet and getting alone and having solitude with God. And I'm going to show you the examples of Jesus just to bring this point home. I want to say this to you. Your public effectiveness, or the lack thereof, is determined by you're abiding in Christ. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you by my Father who's in heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that our steps are ordered by the Lord? How many of you believe that God knows the plans that He has for you and that He is smart and He has a master plan? Okay, He does. All right. So if you believe that you're going to go to Florida and take a 2-week vacation, how many of you have ever gone on a vacation in your car? If you know you're going somewhere, what do you do to your car, your gas tank, before you leave? because you anticipate that you will be moving on and you need to be fueled. And so you pull up under the shade of that awning and you pop in your credit card or whatever and you go zink and you fill it up. Glug, 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 glug. You're topped off because you're going, baby. You're going all the way to Macon, Georgia before you get gas. You're going, man. You know, it gets to the point where you realize that even when you go to the store and you go to, you have to have God. You understand, as you mature in the Lord, you think, you know what? I need God 24/7. And so there's something about abiding in the secret place. Now, this whole subject here of Psalm 91, right off the bat, just shows that when you get in the secret place, there's protection. Some of you feel vulnerable. Some of you are getting tormented in a spirit of fear. And if you'll understand that time in the secret place breeds a sense of protection, that it's just like getting around a bodyguard or something. You get around a bodyguard and it's like, oh yeah. When I went down to Oklahoma, because of the nature of the bombing, I was picked up by an off-duty police officer. He came up and he's standing there. He's got his bulletproof vest and his gun. And he's been in this police force for 25 years. And I got around the guy and I was like, I got under the shadow of his wing and I found refuge. And I felt like, yeah. Now, I had a security. Everywhere I went, he was with me. When I went running, he was with me. He didn't run with me. He said, I can't run with you, but I'll watch you. And he watched me like a hawk. He went through the airport with me. I fell asleep waiting for my plane, and he stood there like that watching me. I was like, I think I had my mouth open. I think I was drooling. And Stan just stood there, and I thought, hey, Stan, hey, you're still here. I slept like a baby. Because Stan was looking over me. Because I was in that shadow of that protection. Listen, when you abide in Him and you live in Him, one of the first byproducts and benefits of the secret place is recognizing, wow, you know, God's protecting me. We listen to so much bad news. We hear so many disasters and calamities and terrible tragedies that they very rarely show the truth from a biblical point of view. But did you know that recently with the Alabama tornadoes, there's a scripture that says when the tornado comes, it'll not come nigh my dwelling. It'll pass over and I'll be fine. That's a paraphrase. But listen to this. A pastor was going to have a church service. He woke up in the middle of the night. I'm glad this is far enough away. This is the kind of church you want to go to. It's far enough away they can't go, so I can brag on this guy. But you know I would anyway. Here's the deal. He gets up and he starts making phone calls. He says, hey, canceling church tonight. Pastors don't cancel church. But this guy did because he was led by the Holy Ghost. Because he had been in the Secret. Abiding under the shadow of the Holy Ghost. And he found refuge and he found protection and he found God giving him guidance out of harm's way and into safe pasture. See, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd that cares about people. He does not want people killed.
That's right.
There was a lady that got ready to get on the Titanic, and one of the last survivors was a young daughter, her daughter. She said she never saw her mother do this before or after, but when the husband came in all excited about these tickets on this ship, he said, we're going to go on this ship. It's the greatest ship in the world. And she went, she said, we must not go. Some great impending danger awaits us. And he went, nah. He blew it off. He died, but she and the daughter lived. God was trying to give a premonition and a warning. That God is my God. God is faithful. There are benefits to dwelling in the secret place. Protection. Everybody say protection. He's our shield and He's our bulwark. He's faithful. When you abide in the secret place, He will reveal things to you. If you seek, you'll find. If you go in there in the secret place, it may feel dreary. It may feel like you're not getting anything. It may feel like just another dry exercise in prayer. But trust me, trust what the Word says, rather. When you abide and you're walking toward God and saying, God, I trust you and I'm seeking you, He'll be found of you. And He will bring answers to you and He will answer you in a special way. He'll answer you supernaturally. He'll answer you with protection. He'll answer you in some awesome ways. Now, we could go off on this some more, but I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 because I want to look at the New Testament counterpart to this, and I want to show you some of the benefits of the secret place. Matthew 6, talks about Jesus ministering concerning spiritual life and living for God. And he's saying, look, don't be like the hypocrites who put on airs and do things out just to be seen of men. Did you know that that can be something that can happen to any of us? And that we need to be cautious in the sight and sound generation, that we be authentic and genuine all the way to the end? I make it a point of fellowshipping with people that are serious about God. I made a commitment not to bring speakers in here that are professionals. I want to bring people in here that have a passion for God and a loving heart for people. That's my commitment. That's my desire. Because that's how I got saved. I ran into real Christians that were wide awake, real people. They were authentic. And it impacted me, honestly. And I saw through all the hypocrisy and stuff, and I saw, here's a real thing. I thought, this is a real, living, breathing, technicolor Christian. This is plausible now. I believe this. And it's our heart, and it's our call, and it's our passion to bridge into the 21st century, the real, genuine, authentic, secret place life where we're walking in fellowship with God, tender, real, genuine, and then we're presenting things to the world that are not just full of religious, traditional trappings, and we're not just putting on airs. We're walking authentically with God. How many of you believe that's a good call? Matthew 6, look what it says here. Oh, I love this. Let's look at verse 6. It says, but you, when you pray, well, let's see, when you pray, verse 5, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, into the secret place, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, look at this. This is what I want to get over to you. One of the benefits of the secret place, the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And another area of the Bible says will reward you openly. Seen in secret, rewarded openly. If you have limited time in the secret place, then you provide limited elements for God to reward openly. Did you catch that revelation? There's a benefit to being in the secret place. This is why the enemy wants to keep us busy. Keep me busy. Catch this now. Let this soak up in you. Make this real to people, Holy Spirit. The Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you see tremendous things happen openly, let me tell you, it's traceable to heart-rending times in the secret place. And I want to say this to every one of you. You will increase in the systems of reward just by increasing in closing the door and getting alone with God a little bit more. If this week, you housewives that are so busy, that have laundry everywhere, that are under pressure, that have a zillion kids, that are dealing with pressures, if you could figure out a way, like John Wesley's mom, where she had these multiple skirts back in the 1700s, like petticoats and skirts. So this was all modest. And at a certain point in the day, I think she had 11 children. And at a certain point in the day, she would grab the outer skirts, pull them up over her head, tie them in a knot, and all the kids, when they saw that, whoosh, silence. That was a portable secret place. How many of you mamas say, I'm going to go buy that dress right now? Only right now, we need it to be like made out of steel or some armor plated. So many distractions. I've heard theologians say that the biggest demon right now against the church is the spirit of distraction. I think more than lust, I think more than greed, I think more than anything else, there's a spirit that has come upon the earth to try to distract us and to keep us out of the secret place and to keep us out of the shadow of the Almighty so we feel vulnerable and we feel shallow and we get out there and we feel like we're operating with our needle on E when we're trying to get all the way to the floor and we haven't even gone past Belleville. And I'm telling you, there's a calling on the church. There's a calling on preachers. There's a calling on men, and there's a calling on women to get in the secret place. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing you have to go to a seminar to figure out. It's just abiding in Him. It's just getting alone with God. Solitude is almost, we feel ashamed in our workaholic world to close the door and spend time alone with God. Time in the secret place is never wasted. Even if you feel like your prayers aren't scratching the ceiling, and even if you feel like, man, I gotta go. Let me tell you, the Father who sees in secret and what is done in the secret place we'll see what's done there, and then to the degree of what's being done there, he could take the substance of it and boom, reward it openly. Catch that at work. Double up a little extra prayer. Do something realistic. 10, 15 minutes extra of just staying on your knees and before the Lord. Read your Bible on your knees, just seeking God just a little bit more. Spend a little bit more time abiding in Him. Maybe go on a fast, not listening to any music except the Bible on tape and some really strong praise and worship tapes. I'm not prescribing this so we become just real lopsided, you know. But I'm saying so we get in the secret place and so we could start to develop some things that God could take and reward openly. I'm convinced that it's not rooted in us looking around for it and being sensational like the hypocrites who love to go out in the street corners and do stuff. I believe it's in the secret place and it's getting before God and it's just those times of prayer and those times of feeding on the word and those times that the enemy tries to discount and belittle in your life, those times that don't feel spiritual and yet they are, those times that you go and get in His presence and minister to Him and fellowship with Him. See, we can't, how many of you think you're above Jesus? Good. Because I ask questions like that and somebody's not paying attention. Huh? I love Jesus. But anyway, listen to me. Hear me now. I investigated something about Jesus. And we're not above our master. How many of you think Jesus had effective days? How many of you think God rewarded him openly? Man. He rewarded him openly because he stayed in the secret place. That was a secret to his effectiveness. That's the secret to your effectiveness. Now, the secret place could be in your car. The secret place could be in a closet in your house. In our house, we moved into this 1924 farmhouse with two kids that were real little and cute, that had little bitty Gap clothes and little bitty Gap shoes and little bitty Gap socks and everything was little bitty and gappy and it was awesome. But now the little bitty Gap thing is over. And now it's big, it's elaborate, and it's abundant, and our cup runneth over. And there is no place to hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. And I'm thinking, Patsy, the only recourse is to get that Mrs. Wesley's skirt thing, but even then, the kids would just go, what are you doing, Mom? And they'd push her over, roll her around on the floor, thinking it was a cue to play or something. But I want to show you something. I want to show you something here that's so powerful. I want to just show you something that Jesus did. Because I want to see more reward manifested on your life. I want to see more manifestations of the glory of God coming into your daily life, because that, after all, is what Jesus' life is all about. And let me just read some of these things to you. Mark 1:35, just listen to this. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place, and he was praying there. You say, I wish I knew where that place was. Be honest with me. How many of you right now are you struggling thinking, I don't know of a lonely place? Let me see your hands if you do. I go out to Babbler Park, and I'm out in Babbler Park, and I'm laying on the ground crying. I'm in the woods, I'm laying on the ground going, and I'm praying. And then I'm laying there crying and go, oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I'm way out in the middle of the woods, it's fall, I'm bundled up like a down sleeping bag, and I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, an owl flies over. I get real quiet, and I look at this owl. Then I look down, and there's a man standing right there looking at me. I got tears running down my face. I thought, how dare you? This is the secret place of the Most High. What are you doing in my prayer closet? Another time I got real inspired by a teacher who was teaching about praying an hour a day. So I went down to the riverfront in St. Charles. At that time I lived there, before they had the casinos. And I went down there, to clarify that, I went down there and I found this really cool place on a sandbar. And in fact, there were a family of beaver there that had eaten up a bunch of trees and it was very beautiful. And the only thing that bugged me is sometimes a barge would come by and the guy would stand there with his binoculars looking at me. But that was okay. So I'm back there and I started crying again. Because you get in God's presence, He'll start touching you. And I'm not a crybaby, but He'll touch you. And I'm in there praying and all of a sudden I'm just saying, Jesus, I would just love you, Jesus. And I turn around and go, thank you, God. And a guy walks right up to me. I go, hey, how's it going? Yeah. Jeff Perry, what's your name? I thought, all right, you're going to invade my prayer closet. You're going out saved. So he pulls, he goes, hey, I've been, I have a trot line out here. I thought a trot line in my prayer closet. So he pulls this trot line out and he pulls this catfish. It's a measly little anemic looking thing. Pulls the thing out. Oh, hey, look. Hey, that's great. Yeah. And I'm thinking, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So I said, he says, what were you doing? I said, I was praying. Wow. He said, and he said, you know a guy named Gary? And I said, yeah. He's a friend of mine. He goes, oh, yeah, I work with him. He's been talking to me about Jesus. I said, well, I'll tell you what, it's all real, and you need to ask him in your life. So he leaves. He gets saved. His wife gets saved and serving God. Don't anybody mess with my prayer closet. I was praying for Patsy one time when she was in a Christian drama group. I could not for the life of me find a place to pray. It was in this theater up in Florissant. So finally, I found a place. And I was back praying for this group, and they were doing an altar call, and there was about 500 people there, and I was, God, I pray you touch these kids, and God, move in this place. And all of a sudden, I felt light and warmth, and I opened my eyes, and the curtains in the back had parted, and I was on the stage, and it was a whole, and I was on my knees. You think you got problems? I used to pray. I was hunched down. I think about guys that are working 50, 60 hours a week. I think about the mothers that work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think, God, how can we get in the secret place? Like the early church, like Jesus did, he got up early in the morning while it was still dark. He arose and he went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. I think the secret is he went out and he did it. I don't think there's anything magical about morning prayer. I think what's beneficial is starting your day. If you work the night shift, then morning prayer is a torment to you because you're sleeping or you're coming home from work. I think the significant thing is, in our society now, is just starting your day, starting the first fruits and getting things geared up in the secret place, in intimacy and in solitude, where you get alone with God and you get quiet and you still your soul. Jesus did it. He did it in the evening too. Mark 6:46, and after bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. And then in Mark 6:47, it says, and when it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea and he was alone on the land. He did solitary communion in his secret place. Luke 5:15 says, but the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him, to be healed of their sicknesses, but he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Listen, as things open up to us, as miracles and opportunities break out, all the more reason to get more involved in the secret place than ever. You never get to a place where, praise God, I paid my dues in the secret place. And now, it is my hour to shine. How many of you think that's false? It is false. See, he's cranking. People are getting touched and healed, and news about him is going everywhere. And that's when he doubled up. I want to say this to you. Obscurity, difficulty on our personal lives, on our church life, on our city, whatever, that's hard to bear. But it even takes more finesse and skill when news spreads about you and doors open up and opportunities begin to flourish and they start to connect and boom, boom, boom. All the more reason to get in the secret place. So the Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus, help us not to miss this point. Luke 6:12 says, and it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. How many of you have ever prayed all night? We're going to have all-night prayer meetings sometimes. You know why? Just to do it. I remember when I was a kid, I'd stay up all night partying and jumping on trampolines and running around listening to music. And I get up the next day and walk around with bags. I'm like, hey, we had an all-nighter. Yeah, we had an all-nighter, man. Dude, wasn't that a great all-nighter? Oh, yeah, dude. Hey, you want to do an all-nighter? Oh, yeah, let's do an all-nighter. We were all excited about doing all-nighters. Now that we're Christians, we're like, oh, no, I need 12 hours of sleep. Well, sometimes we do. But oftentimes when things get critical, we need to get in the secret place. We need to get in public prayer, private prayer. Spending time alone with God is the secret that will mark success on the believers. Because the Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, it's interesting. He sees us in secret. It says here in Psalm 31:20, it says, "Thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man." Oh man, that's a good one. It's another byproduct of being in the secret place. You get in the secret place, he'll start to unravel the conspiracies of men. "Thou dost keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues." I don't want to sit and be preoccupied worrying about what people think, do, and say about me. I want to get in the secret place and get nourished on the truth that God loves me. He's my shelter. He's my refuge. He's my rock. He loves me. He has a plan. And I want to get entrenched in those truths so I could deflect all the attack. You know, if God's for me, who could be against me? You know, I mean, you begin to cop an attitude when you know that he hides you in the secret place of his presence. A secret place is a place where the devil goes, "Where did he go?" And you're enveloped in the glory. You're hidden with Christ in God. The devil's going, "Bummer!" And the conspiracies of men, they go, "Where is he?" They tried to throw Jesus off a hill, and they got to him, and he's like, "We've never heard such words." You know why they were anointed? He had been in the secret place, and God was rewarding it. He said, "He speaks with authority, not as the scribes." How? Because the scribes were busy going, "Nip me, nip me, nip me, nip," and they were doing a, "I love to be seen." Our world in the 21st century has become so cynical and so burned out on just superficial religious stuff and people who just put on a deal that we must walk in the secret place so that we walk out fresh and where they could tell we've been with Jesus. We've got to give them Jesus, you guys. We've got to live where Jesus is really radiating, where they go, "You know what, I could tell they've been with Jesus. I want to have that Galilean accent. I want to have that sense of the fragrant aroma of Christ." We bought a smoker, and I get hickory, and I'll smoke salmon or chicken, or I did a turkey and a ham the other day. I mean, like 50 pounds of meat, man. Don't tell the doctor. But anyway, I crank this thing up, and I'm telling you, all my kids go, "Daddy, you smell like a bonfire. Daddy," and everywhere I go, and then if I'd cool off, you couldn't smell it. But then if I got a little warmer, people, "Whoa, I smell a fire. Is there a fire?" And I would just think, "Yeah, I smell it too. I don't." Open up the windows. Secret place. You got to marinate sometimes in the secret place. You got to go and let God's presence impart into your system so when you walk places, they could tell you've been with Jesus. Because I ran into a Christian in 1972 who had been marinated in the presence in the secret place. He wasn't flaky, wasn't spooky, wasn't mystical. He was just divinely normal. And he looked me in the eye with sincere eyes, and God had rewarded him openly with anointing, with the presence of God. So when he spoke to me, I went, "I want what he has." I argued with him. I thought, "That's good for you." I tried to dismiss it. I couldn't relate to it. It was an awkward moment for me, but I thought, there's no denying it. This is the real deal. That's why I turn on Billy Graham and I'm hanging wallpaper at my mother-in-law's. Billy Graham comes on and I'm going, because he's got people praying their heads off for him. When they interviewed John Wimber on ABC News a couple years ago, he went home to be with the Lord. But before that, I thought that was anointed. Did you see that? Well, I found out later that he had two of his key prayer people flanking him on both sides of the couch out of camera range, sitting there praying in the Holy Ghost the whole time in the secret place. I don't even know the guy, but he's been in the secret place and I know Jesus is in there. Want to see something? I know every one of you aspires to be effective in this life. I know every one of you knows there's more of God that can be manifest through your life. And it's not through gimmickry, and it's not through some sort of quickie formula. It's just going into the secret place. It's just spending that much more of your energies and time fellowshipping with God. I opened up the windows the other night in my room, popped the windows open because it was cool, fresh air. I pulled the drapes back. I looked up at the sky, and I said, "I love you, Jesus." And I started to minister to the Lord. And I mean, it was a nice, delightful moment. And I stuck my head out and went, "Ooh." And then I talked to the Lord a little bit. Nobody was looking. Nobody invaded. There was no trot line there. No owl flew by with a guy standing there looking at me. I got to have a time, a moment with God. And I seized it. And somehow, it translates into anointability later on down the line. Hoo-wee! Listen to this. Matthew 7:14 in the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson. "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Let me read it to you again. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. How many times have you turned on the TV at 2:30 in the morning where some guy with his hair all done goes, I tell you, I made $1 million in 2 minutes. No money down, no money down, and if you buy my CDs and my name for $500 million, you will be able to make $500 million by selling your CDs for $500 million. Thank you very much, and here's my address. Spiritually speaking, I don't want gimmickry. I don't want gimmickry in my life. Spiritually speaking, I want the excellency of the glory to be of God and not of us. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name be glory. And the only way to do that is by abiding in the secret place a little bit more than we did last week. Spending just a little bit more time in fellowship with God. Starting your day when you're fresh and before the kids get up or before the phone ring, turn the phone off. Where in the Bible does it say that you, yea, verily, thou shalt answer the phone every time it ringseth? It's not in the Bible. It's not even in the Apocrypha. Don't even do it. Turn the phone off. You say, but I feel guilty because what if it's a president of the United States? He needs prayer. Pray for him in the secret place. But if it is him calling, he can call you back later. You don't need to be addicted to the phone. We need to be addicted to the secret place. Let me read this to you one more time. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. I want to tell you something. The call to authentic Christianity starts in the secret place, and then the Father that sees in secret in the secret place will take what you're moving in there and he will manifest to reward it openly. How many of you have had blessings happen in your life? How many of you know what I'm talking about? There are these supernatural, not coincidences, but God incidences where it's like this person hooked up with this person and then this door opened and this prayer got answered and you just pinch yourself. You go, wow. Okay, how many of you'd like to see that happen in more abundance? How many of you think it's your destiny to walk in those kinds of exploits in a more increased level? I'm not talking about sensational, but I'm talking about fruitfulness. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and that your fruit remains. The only way we're going to bear fruit outwardly is by the seeds being planted in the secret place. The seeds of our time, the seeds of our prayer. The seeds of slipping away. Jesus often slipped away. He'd pray, and then God would manifest himself. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. You want clarity for your life? You want more anointing in your life? You want more effectiveness? You want to see more people come to Jesus? Yep. Spend time in the secret place. Man. Go into your closet. Shut the door. Next time you get tempted to watch 8 hours of TV, cut back by 4 and then walk outside and get alone. Get a poncho or a tarp and go under a tree and sit there and pray for a while. Go off, don't go to my park, but go to another park and go pray. I want to say this to you as well. On the practical levels, you could short circuit outward manifestations by doing hidden things. David said, forgive me my hidden faults, my hidden sins. And in Deuteronomy, it said, it's pretty powerful. Cursed is the man, this is Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed is the man who makes an idol of a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer saying, Amen. You know, there's never been a time like this where you could get a computer program, punch a few buttons, and almost accidentally access just volumes of pornographic material. And what I'll say to you on that is, if you're having a problem with that, take your computer screen and put it in a public place where everybody could see it. So I want to just say this. If you're having problems with the internet and you live alone, then you need to get rid of your computer. You say, but that's for my job. Well, then you need to take it somewhere where you're accountable. I went and visited a preacher that came here to preach. He said, you know what? I'm susceptible to smutty material on television. It's tempting to me. And it's designed to be for men. And let's just be honest here, because I want the anointing. And I don't want to play any games. And if the Bible says what's done in secret will be rewarded openly, and that which is hidden shall be revealed, and then we're seeing the benefits of the secret place, we need to also, on the reciprocal, understand that we need to watch, because he sees in secret. And see, here's the thing that's so wonderful about Jesus. He sees everything you and I are thinking and doing, and he still loves us. But he's not going to play monkey business with us forever. He will not always strive with men. In other words, he wants us to get off of some of that stuff so we could stay anointable. Watch out what you do in secret. Don't murmur against people. Stay in the spirit. Worship God with some type of rhythm. Stay in fellowship with God. Because when you walk out into public, God wants to shine and radiate through you and reach a hurting and a dying world through you. There are people that need you activated and operative in the anointing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Secret place. People feel called to do great things in God. Secret place. Secret place. Just get alone with the Lord. Get behind the house and just pray for a little while. Get where nobody's going to intrude on you and just talk to God and fellowship with God. I want to stay fresh. Lift your hands up toward heaven. Father, pour out your spirit on each person in this place. Father, for the visitors, the people who've never experienced this kind of thing, and a late night, a long day, and some wild preaching and loud music, and yet there's a strain of authenticity because you're real. I ask you, God, I ask you to help me. And I ask you to help us to be real. And I know that happens from going in the secret place, because in your secret place, we can't put on airs. We can't be repetitive and put on a fancy thing. We just get honest. How many of you get honest when you get before God? How many of you start talking, you find yourself talking eloquently, and then you go, wait a minute, God, this is you and me here. How many of you do that? That's why the secret place is so great, because the secret place is a real place between you and him. The more you spend time there, the more you come out going, you know what? Let's cut the baloney. Let's live this thing out. Amen? Put your hands down. If you're here tonight and you need to settle some things with God, and you know, you say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm right with God, and I want to know the Lord. I want Jesus in my life. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about some spiritual whammy. I'm talking about making a decision to receive Jesus to be your Lord. We just receive you afresh tonight as Lord. If you're here tonight and you need to make that dedication, or you've been away from God, maybe when you were little you dedicated and then you got away, and you want to make a commitment to the Lord and say, I want to get back with this God. I want to serve God and I want to get in God's plan. You say, I don't know what to expect. I didn't either. I was afraid. But man, 25 years later, I'm stuck on this thing. Jesus is so good. Father, I just ask you to pour out your spirit on us when we leave this place and we get in our cars, when we go home and we go to bed, we get up tomorrow in our workaday, daily grind. I ask you to help us to prioritize our time, to seize the moments where we could spend good quality connectedness with you. I pray we pick up our Bibles before we pick up the paper. I pray we pick up fellowshipping with you before we move off on empty chatter. I pray you help us all, Lord, to get on fire. There's revival in the land, and we want to stay living in it. We want to be revived so we could help a hurting world. So, Lord, we submit to you on it. Hallelujah. And we thank you for breakthrough. Say this with me, all of you in the church, lift up your hands toward heaven. Father, I open my heart to you right now. I believe you exist. There's no doubt about it. And I believe you sent Jesus Christ. Even though I've never seen him, I certainly have seen his effects. And I need you in my life. You died for me. You rose from the dead. You're so merciful and fair and kind. And I thank you for your mercy, which I receive right now into my life. Cleanse me, and forgive me of all my sin. And lead me, Lord, into your perfect will. Today is a new day for me. And I receive your grace right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.